The pursuits of your life will dictate your destination. So what are your pursuits? What should your pursuits be? We're learning about all of this morning on Timeless Truths. Coming to the end of our series in 1 Timothy. It has been a great blessing to be able to study the Word of God with all of you and to look and see what the Bible has for our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Now, last week we looked at really two approaches in life. There's grab life by the horns and force open doors and do whatever you have to do to pursue riches, pursue position, pursue wealth. And when that happens, oftentimes it causes us to do things we would normally never do. Maybe cross the line because our pursuit is for those things, and our life becomes about those things. And the Bible teaches us that they that will be rich, it teaches us they that will be rich, those who follow after or pursue the riches, they fall into temptation and the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And so someone can pursue riches and it possibly could destroy their life, or they could pursue Christ. And by doing so, if God sees it fit to bless financially, then that's wonderful. But we are content in what Christ has given us. Christ is our pursuit. That means we still work hard in our business. We still work hard at work. We still do our very best. But if God promotes, that's wonderful. If God doesn't give that promotion, then we know that God has something better. And we know that for the love of money, or the gain that is in this world, the pursuit of gain is the root of all evil. And some have coveted after, and they have erred from the faith, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many people have pursued riches in our world and have come to the conclusion that riches is not the answer? Position is not the answer. I just actually read a quote from Jim Carrey, famous Canadian comedian, and he said that he hopes that everyone becomes rich and that they can buy everything that they want, so that they find out that riches, wealth, is not the answer. And so here's a man who had lots of money, but realized that money is not the answer to joy in someone's life. And so when someone pursues riches, you know, someone says, well, I hope I win the lottery. If I win the lottery, all my problems will be solved. No, your problems won't be solved. You know, your financial problems will be solved, but then you'll have new problems that you have to deal with. So, you know, the reality is that riches, it's not the answer. The answer is to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. For the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, the Apostle Paul was one who found his contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had learned this lesson that as long as the Lord was on his side, as long as the Lord was with him, then he was fine with that. If he had riches, if he abounded, great. If he had nothing, then that's okay, because he could do everything. He could do all things through the power that he found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's not, you know, we can fulfill every carnal desire that we have, but that's the context of that, is that we can do what God has called us to do. We can follow God's pathway for our life. And so Paul says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of wealth. Follow after godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now the context, again, he's speaking to Timothy, the man of God. He's talking to a young preacher who's pastoring in Ephesus. And he's encouraging Timothy to flee the pursuit of wealth, but to pursue godliness. Fight the good fight of faith. And how do we fight the good fight of faith? How do we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? We pursue him. We pursue righteousness. We keep this commandment in our life. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world wants us to be conformed to their image, but Christ wants to transform us into his image. And so Paul writes to Timothy and says, Timothy, flee the pursuits that would steal your heart from drawing near to God. And so he says in verse 11, follow after. The word follow is a strong word. It means to run after, to run swiftly after, to pursue, to seek eagerly and earnestly. It has the idea of aiming at something and pursuing it until it is gained. So what are we to pursue? pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. We are to pursue godliness. We are to pursue faith and love. And the Bible says patience. We are to pursue these things. Now, the scriptures teach us that we are to, first of all, pursue righteousness. It means to be right with God. It's the work of God that is accomplished in our life by having God's divine nature. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says that ye have, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible teaches us in 1 John that the new man can do no wrong. The new man does not sin, and the old man can do no right. So we have a spiritual battle inside our hearts, and we are to pursue after the new man, righteousness and true holiness. We are to pursue Christ in our life. We are to pursue godliness. This is to be godlike. How we act, how we live, how we react, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we are to be a people, we are to be people who seek after, who follow after, who pursues godliness. We are to also pursue faith. Faith means to believe and to be faithful. When one pursues faith, they learn to trust God more and more. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so we are to pursue faith. We are to pursue love. This is the love of God. There are four types of love in the Greek language. There's the agape love. This is the love of God, the sacrificial, selfless love. Our world understands their type of love is the word eros, which we get the word erotic. It's a passionate, lustful love. There's the word storge, which is a love between a mother and a child or a father and a child. It's an affectionate love. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says that in the last days, there will be those without natural affection. The word affection there is that Greek word storge. It is an affectionate love, the kind of love between a parent and a child. And then there's the Greek word for love, phileo. It's an endearing love. It's a brotherly love. You know, we think of the city of Philadelphia, phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So phileo is an endearing love or a brotherly love. And so the scripture says we are to pursue not the lustful love, not the affectionate love, not the endearing love. We are to pursue the agape love, a sacrificial love. And this is to abound in our life more and more. You know, we can never love too much. We can never love like God too much. And so the Bible says pursue love, pursue patience. The word patience means to be steadfast, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. The church at Thessalonica endured tribulations. And so the apostle Paul writes to them and says that we glory in you, and not glory in you in a prideful way, but we glory in what God has done in your life, and we glory in your patience, your steadfastness, and your faith, your trust in God. And so we are to pursue patience, steadfastness. We are to pursue meekness. Meekness means to be gentle. It means to be tender and humble and mild and considerate, but in a strong way. Meekness does not mean weakness. In fact, meekness comes from two thoughts, a humble state and a strong state. Someone suggested that meekness is strength under control, seeing the bigger picture. Jesus was meek because Christ saw the plan of his Father, and Jesus went to a cross. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and taken before Pilate. Why? Because he was strength under control. He was meek. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Galatians 6:1. The Bible says in Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The Bible says in James 3, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So the Bible says much about meekness, and it's a characteristic of God's working in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And so we are to pursue meekness. We are to pursue faithfulness. We are to pursue patience. We are to pursue love, and we are to pursue godliness, and we are to pursue righteousness. This ought to be the pursuit of every Christian. We are to pursue these things. We are not supposed to pursue riches. We're not supposed to pursue wealth. We're not to pursue knowledge. We are to pursue these things. Christ ought to be before our life, and this ought to be the heartbeat of every single Christian. So 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, so then fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. So first of all, the thought here, fight a good fight. The word fight there means to agonize. It means to battle. It means to struggle. And it's a noble conflict. It's a good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. That wasn't Paul patting himself on the back saying, I did a good job. God is our judge. We'll stand before the Lord and give an account of our life as stewards if you're born again. So it wasn't Paul saying, I did a good job. It was Paul saying, I fought a good fight. The fight that we're involved in as Christians, it's a good fight. And I hope you understand that. It's a good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Embrace the fight and the grace of God to be successful. Embrace the fight. Embrace God's grace to help us. The Christian life isn't hard. The Christian life is impossible. We can't live the Christian life in our own power. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. You see, we need the Lord. We need his help. We need his grace. We need his strength. Be strong and in the power of his might. And so we need the Lord to help us. And so lay hold on eternal life. Embrace it. Hold it tight and allow God to work through us. Whereunto thou art called. We are called to do the work of God. We are called to embrace our salvation. We're not to neglect a great salvation. We are to embrace a great salvation. And we are to embrace everything that it means to be a Christian and God's working in our life. The Bible says to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. Thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So a good testimony. I want to take a moment and talk about a testimony. We all have testimonies. We all have a testimony. And as Christians, we want to have a good testimony. We want to be a blessing to other people. I was preaching last Wednesday night. We're in 2 Timothy in our Bible study, and I was talking about how we all have a testimony, and our testimony is a wonderful way that we can be a blessing to someone else. When we go through struggles and trials and God gives us grace to overcome those, then when someone else is going through hard times, we can come up beside them and we can say, hey, listen, I know what you're going through. I know your struggles. I know your difficulties. And I just want you to know that I'm here to help you and I'm praying for you. And so we have this testimony that we can use to encourage other believers, to encourage other Christians in the good fight. And so a good testimony among the church and other believers is important. You know, there are so many Christians who start well. The church at Galatia, they started well, but they were hindered in their race. And so a good profession, I think Timothy had a good profession. I think he was running a good race. And Paul is saying, Timothy, listen, don't give up on the Lord. You know, lay hold on eternal life, fight, agonize, battle, struggle in that good fight. Verse 13 teaches us, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Once again, Paul is charging Timothy before God, who gives life to all. You know, in Exodus chapter 8, there's a wonderful story, and you know the story if you're a Bible student. Moses is standing before Pharaoh, and he's going to do various wonders to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. And the Bible says in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. And the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. I want us to think about that expression that the magicians of Pharaoh said to Pharaoh himself when they tried to duplicate what Moses was doing. They said, this is the finger of God. God made man from the dust of the earth. God made lice, it says in the scripture, from the dust of the earth. The reality is that God is the creator of life. And because God has given life, God has the right to take life. God gives life, and he gives life to all. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that Paul is charging Timothy before God, who quickeneth all things, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had professed a good profession before Pilate. He was threatened with death, but Jesus gave Pilate the truth. The Bible says in John 18, in verse 36 and 37, my kingdom, Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, and thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I'm a king. Jesus professed that he was king, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. What was the confession, the bold confession of Jesus Christ? And that is that he is king. Jesus is king. And so the Bible says in this passage of scripture here that Jesus stood before Pilate, and Jesus boldly proclaimed that he is king. Verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the command that we find in Scripture? That is that we go forward in this dark and perverse world, and we boldly confess that Jesus is King, that Jesus is the giver of life. And by doing so, as we keep this commandment, we are to do so without spot. We are to do so unrebukable until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. This is the very definition of fighting the good fight of faith. As we confess Jesus Christ, there's going to be some backlash in our world today. I mean, our world does not like the Lord Jesus. They fight against the Scriptures and Christ.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.